Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Everybody get up and dance. Yeah. Another show, another episode of The Suspendables coming up, okay? Carey Fraser refereed when Russ played. Carey Fraser did not like Russ. Wait till you hear what happened during one of the games when they were on the ice together, okay? Are the Cortinel brothers crazy, Jeff and Russ? Yes, they are. Wait till you hear what they did in a bar with a bunch of ashtrays one night. And if that isn't enough to make you think Russ is crazy, Zach Cassian got suspended 7 games for kicking a guy. Russ kicked a guy when he played, didn't even get a penalty, and a bigger kick. If you like what you're hearing on the show, why don't you drop us an email, thesuspendables@yahoo.com. If you don't like what you're hearing, keep your goddamn opinion to yourself. Bum-ba-na-na-na, bum-ba-na-na-na-na. Do you remember that song, Russ? Bum-ba-na-bum-ba-na-ba-na-ba-na-ba-na. Sing it with me. Bum-ba-na-na-na.
I'm busy.
You can do the drums. That, of course, is the iconic introduction to the NHL. And one of the greatest players ever was Russ Cortinel.
Oh, now you're lying. You took your lying pill.
No. You were a superstar. You were great. Yeah. Once again, the Suspendables podcast coming at you. This is, we're well into our 30s, Russ, with our shows. And we thought it was going great. Okay. Everything was good. Then the owner got a hold. All of a sudden, we got this phone call from a guy who said, I'm here to fix everything. Okay. Okay. I mean, everything, top to bottom. His name's Reg. I'm going to call him what do we call him? Coach Reg? CR?
Yeah, Coach.
We got Coach? Coach CR. Coach Reg, who's made some changes to the show already. You've heard them with music and all that stuff. And so we're getting there. It's getting bigger and better. We had a little technical difficulties, Russ, before the start of the show. We got our producer in Ottawa hooking us up. And you weren't on your internet, right? And you're like me. Okay, because yeah. we're into our 50s. Okay,
like, where's my kid?
Yeah, same thing I do. Yeah, hang on, hold the phone. Yeah, I've got to get the daughter. I still send letters, Russ, by stamp, and I have a fax machine. Okay, so anyway, we got her all fixed up. What was the weekend like for you, Rusty? Before we launch in,
it was a great weekend. I hosted a dinner party last night for Roberto Roberto and Deanna Aquilini. They're down here from Vancouver. They own their family owns the Vancouver Canucks, and their son Dax, daughter Keely and Pierce, and Dax had his girlfriend who's from Toronto and her sister over. So we're sitting around last night having dinner, and I said, so you know where you live in Toronto? Yeah, my dad, we lived in San Diego, then we moved to Toronto, and then as soon as I graduated, I moved back to California, and I go, oh, you're smart, your dad's smart, too. Yeah. So today, fast forward, we had a great dinner, a lot of laughs, and today we're playing golf, so it's Dax, and Roberto and I were playing Sherwood Country Club, and I said, so Dax, beautiful girl, your girlfriend, lovely girl from Toronto, what does her dad do? And he goes, oh, he's an actor. And I'm like, who? Chris Potter, Canadian actor. I'm like, are you kidding me? I know Chris. So after golf, Chris got my phone number from his daughter, whose name is Quinn. And we had a chuckle. We were 30 minutes yakking on the phone.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyways, it was just a cool weekend. Sports for the kids and lots of wine and food and fun. And President's Day tomorrow. So we got another holiday tomorrow.
Yeah, so do we, actually. And first of all, Russ, it's I'm glad to hear that you finally have hosted a dinner party with some rich people. That never fucking happens for you. Jesus, every week it's like, well, we're with the Casamigos guy, and we were with the 100 Acre guy last week.
Oh, that's
like,
right. Oh, yeah.
People are with the Aquilinis this week, so it's like, their website is www.russconnected.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's great stuff. Your son. Now, what about your son? He's playing hockey. How are they doing?
They are. They're doing really well. The last, 10 games. I think they're 8-2.
So they're playing good.
Yeah, they're playing really well right now. So hopefully they get into the top 16 and then get into the tournament. Or, you know, get into the playoffs and then see what happens. But they're playing really well, playing good as a team.
We'll ask the same question that you're probably wondering and that your son is probably wondering. Will he get drafted into the NHL, Russ?
He won't because he's 23, so he's past the draft age. But he's getting looks. Teams are watching him. So he might sign a pro contract after the season. We're all keeping our fingers crossed, especially him. He's all the seniors on the team, and they have quite a few of them this year. They're, you know, this guy's going here and this guy's going there, and so he's anxious. But I said to him, look, you just got to keep playing well, and he's a heck of a penalty killer and fast. And if somebody out there needs a player like Lawton, you know, he'll get signed. So we'll see.
Is the talent way thicker now, Russ, for young players coming into the league than it was when you played?
For sure. I think that play, if you're good, one of the older scouts told me, actually it was Pete Mihaljevic told me, he said, if you're good, we're going to find you. Just the internet's amazing because you can see a video of a kid, you know, halfway around the world and they'll be on a plane to go watch them. And so I think if you're talented enough to play in the NHL, they're going to find you. So yeah, there's lots of good hockey players out there. Lots of great athletes all around. All the sports have so many more athletes.
You bring up Pete Mihaljevic, crazy eyes, as I like to call him, okay? So I'm playing in a golf tournament with Pete Mihaljevic, okay? Two things happen here. So we're bumping along. Pretty serious guy, pretty outspoken about one of these guys who's kind of bitter about the NHL pension, and but he's got lots to say about it. He's not shy. Wonderful guy to play golf with. We were in a tournament that Ian Leggett had hosted. Former Canadian tour player on the PGA, and we're standing on the tee. It's one of these things, Russ, right? One of these scrambles where you're held up, you know, every hole, right? And so you just drink a bunch, and it is what it is. We're going to be 6-7 hours, and we were playing just north of Toronto, and we were standing on the tee, and there's a road that goes right behind this tee, and it's 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon, and it's jammed with traffic, right? And we're just standing there, and Mihaljevic sort of turns around and looks out, you know, at all this traffic. It's really just on the other side of the fence. It's a hot day. And Pete Mihaljevic starts to go like this. He goes, hey, how's the fucking traffic out there? Okay? Hey, do you like the traffic? How's the traffic? Hey, how do you like being in traffic in this shit-ass city, right?
Oh, no.
And I'm going, what are you doing, Pete? Right? Yeah. And he says, I'm just so sick of teeing off, and a car drives by and yells, 4, you know, in the middle of my backswing.
Yeah.
He was hilarious, you know, and not only that, but
that is funny.
We got up to the green. I was, these are my blurry days, Russ. I was into the cups quite a bit. And I forget how it happened, but we were, the guys in front of us were really slow.
Yeah. They thought they were going to win.
Yeah, that's right. They thought they were at the mat. Anyway, I go up there. And Pete's with me. We're in the same cart. And I drive up and I jump out of the cart and I lose my mind a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck? Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
You're holding up the whole show here, you know? And a guy turns around, big guy.
Yeah.
Turns around and says, what's your problem? Right? So it's like one of those things where I don't know the guy at all. The hair goes up in the back of my neck. Yeah. I'm not a strong fighter, Rusty.
Yeah.
And Mihaljevic is behind me. And the guy starts to walk over to me, and Mihaljevic puts his hand on my shoulder, subs me aside, and goes, I fucking got this, Jimmy. I mean, I don't know, he's probably 70 years old now, and this was only like 10 years ago or something, you know?
Anyway, I've got this.
Yeah, I got this, Jimmy. Like, he was ready to go, right? He was ready to draw.
And he's a big man. Oh, Pete's a big
huge man.
Yeah, he's huge. That's great. What a great story. That guy, I wonder if that guy, did he know it was Pete Mavlich?
Yes, he did.
Because he's probably telling that same story. Like, I challenged this guy, a skinny guy, got out of his cart, and I was going to go over and beat him up. And Pete Mavlich said, I've got this. What a great story.
And then I go flying into the clubhouse.
Running.
And, right? No, we're after the game, right? And I'm pissed. And then I go into the locker room, and the host is there, the tournament. And I start to fucking go off on this guy, right? I go, this piece of shit. You know, he even got Pete Mavlich revved up. And the fucking guys, they held up the whole tournament. I don't know what and the guy I was talking about was sitting right beside me.
Oh,
in the locker room. But anyway, yeah, Pete was ready to drop him. You know, Pete was ready to go. You got a holiday there tomorrow, President's Day. We got family day here, Russ. It's one of the old premiers 20 years ago said, you know what? There's no holiday in February here in Alberta. And they started the first one.
I bet you that was day. Klein.
It was either Ralph Klein or Peter Lougheed. I forget. Maybe Decor. Those are Decor. He might have been the mayor. But yeah, Ralph was great.
Oh my God, he's a legend.
The premier of Alberta is effectively the governor of your states. Okay, of your
you know state how government. He got rid of all the homeless people in Calgary, right?
Oh, it's the best.
One way ticket anywhere they wanted to go in Canada, a bus ticket. Freaking 1 week, everyone was gone.
I know.
They all went to Victoria, my hometown.
One of the greatest lines ever was he was a notorious drinker, okay?
Yeah.
I think he quit before he died, but he got hammered one night, and he's got his chauffeur, and he's leaving a dinner, and he goes into a homeless shelter.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Yeah, and sort of goes off on all these homeless people. And he regretted it after.
Yeah, you know,
apparently he was throwing $20 bills around or something going, come on, get a job. And the poor guy, but he was great. One of the funniest lines ever in our provincial legislature is Klein got up and started complaining about had a speech about the economy and what bad shape we're in and that the government... His government is going to bring this thing out of the depths of despair, right? Mm-hmm. And an opposition member gets up and says, I would like to address Mr. Premier, our illustrious premier, and suggest if he has many issues about the economy, that he could start by returning his empties.
The place must have went crazy.
Oh, fuck, it went upside down.
How good is that?
Yeah, I mean, those were the old boys club, you know, back in those days. And then they'd all have a scotch.
Meet in the bar after and laugh.
Right. So anyway, family day tomorrow where I take the opportunities to get together with my kids.
Nice.
My ex-wife, Russ, and then I sit them all down and I rank who I love more.
Oh, jeez.
I just tell them clearly, I love you more than him. He's done better this year.
Do they actually show up or do you have Barbie dolls?
Come on. Come on. I told you what my kid said to me. I was yelling at him one day. He wasn't getting the picture. I said, you know, one day you're going to have kids of your own. He said, so are you. anyway, here we go.
Oh, back to Chris Potter. When I was talking to him today, he said he listens to our show.
Oh, good.
So he's got the longest running show in Canada. They just signed again, 14 years. He said, I've spent the last 14 years on a horse in the foothills of the Rockies. And so we're going to get together and play a little golf in the summer. And
it's called Heartland, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Heartland. And it's shot in Alberta, that's right.
Yeah. 14 years, that's a good gig.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
It was like, how long was your career? Did you
16,
go 14?
16.
16.
Yeah.
Nice going.
Won't it be fun when you start one?
Oh, fuck. You know what, Russ? Okay. You know what,
You're 34 shows into.
I don't know what happened the last show, okay? I know I listened to it, and I listened to it in sort of broken up segments because I'm driving in my car. But I got this inordinate amount of tweets from people going, Jimmy, Russ is just fucking giving it to you. Every show, pal. And, right? And I sort of laughed, right? And then the next guy's going, oh, my God, Jim, what are you, a punching bag for Russ Cordell? He's just hammering you, right?
Yeah.
And I said, no, is he really? Next tweet, another one. Holy Christ, Jim, Russ, what's Russ, a post pounder? Just driving in the top of the skull every day? I started worrying about it, Rusty.
Before we did this show, I went to therapy, but I don't go anymore.
Big news before we launch in, Russ, to the stuff, is we have a web store now. Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's set up.
So we've moved from your studio to a garage. Yes. Now we have a web studio.
No, it's not me. It's not me. It's the guys at Elite, right?
Okay.
The guys at Elite Promotional Marketing.
I'm gonna let you go. Okay, talk. I want to hear this.
The guys at Elite Promotional Marketing stepped in when I got into this fiasco of trying to arrange shirts for everyone. And Russ, it was going fine.
Yeah.
I got them all out. There were 50 or 75 shirts. We got them all out. Drew Schammelhorn there with Elite Promotional Marketing got them out. And then all of a sudden, he said, Jimmy, I got them all done, got all shipped. And I said, thanks, Drew, you're my guy. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting, about every fourth day, Russ, I get a tweet going, Jimmy, you sent me the wrong size.
Oh, no. Oh, no. So
I said, keep it, and we'll get you another one. So people love us.
So now everybody's just going to say they got the wrong size. Honey, this is great. I'll order one. I'll tell them I got the wrong size, and then I'll get one for free.
I'm so stupid because I said, hey, don't worry about it. Keep it. We'll send you another one out for nothing. Bang. Fucking 10 tweets. Hey, I want a free shirt. You know. Anyway, thanks a lot to Drew. So it's you go online. It's the suspendables.shop, and we've got 7 or 8 things on there that you're going to love. Shirts and hoodies and zips and all this other stuff. Beautiful Under Armour bag, Russ, with our logo on it. A knapsack, all sorts of stuff. So thanks a lot, Drew. Where do we start, Rusty? Your buddy.
My buddy.
First of all, it was the heart-wrenching Jay Bouwmeester collapsing at the bench the other day.
Oh, my God. Poor guy. Poor family.
We like to give these guys karma when this stuff sort of happens. It comes on the heel of the Kobe Bryant thing, but he's okay.
Yeah.
They had to resuscitate him, as far as I understand, looking at the headlines. And did you play with him at all? Has he been around that long? No, you retired.
No, I retired 98, 99 was my last season. So I think he might have, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I don't think he played. Chara was in the league when I played, and Thornton.
Right. Anyway, good luck to him. We just want to.
Yeah, heard he won't be able to play again. Are you hearing that?
I've heard different stuff.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, so nothing official yet.
I mean, if that happens to you, I mean, your life just flashes in front of you, and I bet at that point, when you're wondering about your career, you're wondering about your life more than your career. You know, a horrible situation. A funny situation. And I disagree with the firing of the guy is Jeremy Roenick, of course, who was one of the most demonstrative, outrageous, outspoken guys to play hockey. He would have played right alongside you. And he ended up being a great grab for one of the networks to do hockey commentary. He's fucking nuts. I know him. My best episode of Jeremy Roenick was him grabbing a rattlesnake outside of the Whisper Rock Country Club and bringing it inside the clubhouse. Okay. I mean, he's fucking nuts, man. He's absolutely nuts. Hilarious guy. And he goes on another podcast that we're catching up to, Russ. Okay, we're catching up to these guys. And he was on a trip with Catherine Tappan, is a coworker of hers, hot chick who works there. I better be careful. This is what the guy got fired for.
Yeah.
And Patrick Sharp was there, and Roenick's with his wife. She's on the trip. And so when he goes on the podcast, he starts to talk about it and says, I was hoping for a threesome.
Yeah.
Okay? With her. And she's so hot, and it's not going to happen. But Patrick Sharp, too, is a beautiful guy, you know? And he says a bunch of hilarious stuff. A bunch of hilarious stuff. The chick comes out and says, we're going to remain good friends, Catherine, but it was unacceptable. And NBC, who he was working for, fired him. And I thought, fuck, that's too bad.
Yeah, bye-bye.
It's too bad, you know. You know Jeremy.
Yeah, I saw his apology. You know, he apologized to all his fans and said thank you for the support and I'll be back better, stronger, better, you know, blah, blah, blah. With some, I guess he's probably going to go somewhere else to another network if they'll take him. But, yeah, he's always been outspoken. And
that was oversensitive, wasn't it, Russ, by the station? Fuck, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, he's talking about threesome with his wife and this girl he works with. I think he'd want to take all that those ones back. He shouldn't have been talking about that stuff. Like, come on. But anyways.
I'll tell you what, Russ.
I love JR. I just, you know, in hindsight, he shouldn't have said what he said. But, and it's funny, the guys are like laughing and, you know, she's beautiful and.
Yeah. She is. And every other guy would want to have a threesome with her.
Yeah, well, that's what I think the story was, because guys at the hotel, because they were on the vacation together, his wife and her, right? And I think he was saying, everybody's assuming we're all sleeping together, so I'm just going with it.
I think it's a form of flattery. If I'm Catherine Tappan.
He was he's being JR. He was just being funny, and it cost him his job. And it's a lucrative job he had. I mean, he's you know, they're paying big money.
So here's the thing, Russ, okay? About that whole thing with Roenick, okay? And if you were with your wife, okay?
Yeah.
There's two ways this can go, okay? And say that you're at a table with the boys, and they start talking about your wife, but they don't know it's your wife, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And this has happened to me, right? And some guy, there's two things that can happen, and you tell me which one you'd rather happen. So some guy goes creepy, okay? He doesn't know it's your wife, and he goes, I'll tell you what, I saw that Paris Courtney, she is so hot, okay? I would do anything, blah, blah, blah. It would be my hall pass, all this stuff, okay? And you're sitting there, okay? Or you hear them go like this, you know? I'll tell you what, that fucking girl, I wouldn't fucking, you couldn't pay me enough money, right? It's not, so it could go one of two ways. I am of the opinion, Russ, I way rather hear the guy think my wife is the hottest thing in the world.
Yeah, of course. It's a compliment.
Look, but don't touch.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, it's a compliment. Yeah.
Anyway, poor Jeremy, I hope he gets a job. I hope he doesn't lose his whole career because of it.
Yeah, that was, those gigs are good ones because they can last, you know, forever till you retire. And these guys make a really nice living, and then they get their summers off. And for an athlete doing that, they're right back in. They know what they're talking about. They don't have to learn anything, and they're on the same season they were when they were playing. So it's a perfect job for a retired hockey or any athlete. You look at any sport; those guys, it's a good gig. And you know, there's all these guys below Jeremy that are just applauding that he got let go because they think they got a shot at his position, which that probably wouldn't have come up till JR was 70. You know, he would have had that job for another 20 years or 15 years. I don't know, JR is what, 54 or 53, 52, something like that.
Well, all these guys come under the comparison to Don Cherry, right, who got fired.
Yeah.
And Grapes got fired for a different reason, but he was, you know, 30 plus years in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they ever going to do to replace him? And they're always looking at outspoken guys, you know, and names like Brett Hull came up and other guys who don't give a shit what they say, which makes for great broadcasting. But and Roenick would be one of those guys, you know. But anyway, a couple things, Russ. I'm calling this Everyone's Ripping Everybody this week.
Mm-hmm.
Claude Julien, coach of the Montreal Canadiens, they lose a game the other night. They're up 3-0. They end up losing 4-3. They do not get a power play in that game. The other team had three power plays, and they end up coming back and winning this thing. And Julien, which is very uncommon because I think it's a big fine, has his press conference and absolutely rips the refereeing.
Wow.
Beyond rip, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, and goes off on these guys. And so further to that story, okay, so, you know, how much are coaches allowed to do, Russ? you know, should they be able to go in there and question the refs? There's the obvious, like, fuck, pal, if you do that now, we're going to get this guy down the road somewhere, right? This ref.
Yeah.
And is that a real deal, Russ? Like, are the refs going to, are they going to get retribution if you pop off too much?
100%. The ref, you have a relationship with coaches and players. The refs do. And if it's not a good one and it's close, it's not going to go your way. Not even freaking every referee that I ran into who was a dick had he would call, you know, it would be, oh yeah, no, I didn't see it, or you know, yeah, you were offside. But I played before, you know, when we didn't have the video replay, so it was like, you're kidding me, that was on, that was in. No it wasn't in.
Right.
And then I go, well, when you get home tonight on ESPN, I told Carey Fraser this, I scored in Detroit. And they were like, it didn't go in. He didn't call it a goal. And I actually, that year, I would have had 30. I think I had 29.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So I go, Carey, when you get home tonight and you see the frickin' replay on ESPN, you're going to see that fucking goal went in. And he looked at me and said, too bad, it's not in. It was in.
He was pretty smug.
He was a little bastard. He was a little pretty boy. I think I've told this story on the show, but I'll tell it again. I wasn't a fighter, and this guy was coming after me, I think in Montreal or something like that. And he definitely did not like me.
Right.
And he said to the refs, no, let him go, let them fight. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I don't know who it was, but it was somebody way tougher than me. Fuck, I was like, are you kidding me? I don't want to fight.
I wish, yeah, I mean, you must have heard hilarious.
Let him go.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me, I saw a guy who was a crazy friend of mine that nobody, you know, he was just kind of a goofball back in the day, and he regretted most of the stuff he did in the bar. And he was like, when he started walking into the bar, okay, back in his day, he's a fantastic guy now. Back in his day, people would turn and run, you know, they're like, oh no, here he comes, right? And so much so, Russ, that I was driving home from the fucking bar one night down White Avenue in Edmonton, and I looked out to my right on the sidewalk. A guy was kicking the shit out of him, and I drove right by.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, everyone wanted to, yeah. But you must have heard some great shit on the ice from referees, but I think they should be mic'd up because there's some hilarious
stuff.
Yeah,
there is. I was just thinking of a story in a bar when Jeff and I, my brother Jeff, who played, we started going to this bar in Victoria. And it was called The Sting at the time. And it was probably the best bar in Victoria. And I was probably not of age. I was probably playing for the Cougars and
right.
junior hockey. And Jeff, he was 3 years older than me. And he went, and it was back when people could smoke in the bars.
Sure, loved it.
And he would go in with a package of firecrackers. Oh, and he would bury the firecracker in the bottom of every ashtray,
oh,
underneath all the ashes and the butted out cigarettes. And
then
we'd order a couple beers and we'd sit in the corner and wait. And it was like, bang, bang.
Oh, no.
Because we were dead against people who smoked in the bar. So he's like, how are we going to get him to stop smoking?
I got a mute. I'm laughing so hard.
Anyway, so I just thought of that bar story.
Oh, my God. That's the best.
And you're a smoker, so you'd understand it.
Yeah, that's one of the many disappointments. I would have so used that if I would have known about that. One of the dregs. And that's the best.
Oh, my God. If they did it today, there'd be freaking everybody hit the floor because they'd think somebody was getting shot.
You'd be done.
Anyway, sorry to change the subject.
That's okay. Hey, Russ, when you're playing in a game, because one of the topics has come up is one of the refs the other night went off at a guy and told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay? And, I mean, the refs get it all day long. They get it all day long. Can you call a ref like a douchebag or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can only tell you what it was like when I play, like, fuck, you know, you'd be F-bombing and you're frick, you you piece of crap, you know, you. And these guys, the refs were great, like the, especially the linesmen, because they would let guys, they would let them, let a lot of players away with, they'd let you get away with a lot of stuff, right? And then they cool down and you, you know, and you, later and you go, sorry, I freaking, I was pissed off. Yeah, yeah, I let you go. Like there was that, that respect where you, you would say stuff and then they would go, and then you'd go up to them after and say, you know what, right? I didn't mean that stuff. I was just pissed off.
I don't think you're a douchebag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One guy. I think it was Gregson. He came over to the bench and he handed me his whistle and he goes, "Russ, if you think you can do a better job, here you go.
Freaking, good one.
You can be the ref." And I go, "You guys only make $75,000 a year. I don't want to pay cut." He goes, "Good one. You're right." He turned around. He goes, "You're right." And he turned around and skated away, you know, it was, and we were making in the hundreds of thousands, not millions, but anyways, he was, but that there's some definite battles. Gary Lehman, we lost in overtime in Toronto and he threw his stick across the width of the ice from the bench at the ref and missed him. Thank God. And the ref never saw it because the fans were booing and throwing crap on the ice. And this, when this stick was in the air, it won. So think of a player throwing a stick like a javelin. It's going through the air, across the rink, hits the ice, and then hit the boards. That's how far he threw it and how high.
Good throw there.
Great throw. And in the air, I'm going, if he hits this ref, he's done. He's like, he's going to lose his career. It's like in the air going, I'm going, no, 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 no. And it poof, hit the boards. And then one of us quickly went over, picked up the stick. The ref never saw it.
Jesus. That's career ending shit.
Yeah.
Good toss, though. That's
Yeah, it was great. Well, I've said Gary Lehman was the best athlete I've ever met in my life.
You've taught, I know that. And he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. I had him on a podcast. We're going to get him on because I had him on a podcast.
Oh, my God. Did the Brof stories?
Well, the best impersonation of Brophy, ever. Rusty, I've got to ask you about, there was a referee, I think his first, famous referee when you played, I think his first name was Paul. I'm trying to.
Oh, Stewart.
Paul Stewart.
Yeah.
And talking about funny shit.
I blew out his knee in Montreal.
That a boy.
Yeah.
Like by accident.
Yeah. You didn't, by accident.
You didn't javelin him with your stick. Anyway, he was a long-serving referee. You know, he was a great guy. People love him. Many stories about him. Funny guy. And he was refereeing his last game before he retired in the NHL. And everyone knew about it. It was a story. The Oilers were part of that last game. He wanted to do it with Gretz, of course, because he was there for his whole career. And he had a little press conference before the game. And they said, "What are you going to do after the game? Are you going to stay in hockey?" And he said, "Fuck no." Right? He said, "I've had enough. I'm going to go to top of that bridge in my hometown, and I'm going to throw my skates off the bridge."
Yeah.
So the game starts. Say there's the coach of the Oilers, and Paul Stewart makes a bad call. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Slats knows it's his last game, and he says, "Hey, Stewart, when you throw those skates off the bridge, do us a favor and keep them on." Speaking of all this, refereeing and suspensions and penalties and all this other shit. Kane.
Evander.
Gets suspended for 3 games for elbowing a guy in the head. It happened a few games ago. And he goes in the press and says, there's a department now in the NHL that George Parros, former Montreal Canadian, heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Department of Player Safety. And these are the guys that handled the suspensions. Kane gets 3 games for this. Cassian kicked a guy blade first the other night and got 7 games.
Yeah.
Kane, speaking of ripping, goes in the press and says, "This is a joke."
Yeah.
what they want to do for player safety. He shows on his social media and references, you know, many, many more incidences where guys did worse and never got suspended, sometimes never got a penalty. And this guy's saying this fucking player department thing is absolute asinine. They don't know what they're doing. It's a shit show over there. They get to pick and choose who gets suspended. They get to sort of willy-nilly pick the games. And Kane went on to say that maybe they should have... First of all, do you agree with that?
Ray Whitney is a good friend of mine, and he's part of the player safety. Yep. And Wiz is just a great guy, and I know Peros. He's a good guy. I call him a great guy, but I don't know him that well. I think, you know, he's a good guy. So you got two really good hockey guys in there, and then I think you have a couple guys that didn't play. And I loved what Evander said about this is, you know, this is bullshit, and look at, here's some examples. They take into account whether you're a first time, second time, third time offender. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult job. I mean, it really is it's a hard job. Where he points out, though, where Chara, the defenseman in Boston,
yes.
He cross-checks Gallagher right in the face, and he gets like a fine.
Right.
And I don't know how they got around that, because what, he's 6'8" and he's 5'8" and he didn't go cross-check up. He just went cross, which would have hit most guys in the chest, hit him. I don't know. I don't know how they didn't suspend him for it, but he did hit him right in the face. So I like it when somebody who speaks up and knows they're going to get in trouble, they're going to get fined, and they're not going to be silenced because of that. They're like, this is what I believe. And he was very well spoken. He was articulate in how he defended his stance, and I applaud him for it. Unfortunately, it's a couple guys I know that are taking the brunt of it, but I don't know all the details in how they came to the conclusion. But that Chara cross check to the face, oh my god,
yeah.
I mean, it cross checked him right in the face. How do you just get a? How do you get like a dollar fine, not games? I don't get it. So he's got a point, and he's an outspoken guy like JR and Holly and. And it's probably going to cost him more money, and they could suspend him. But you know what? Maybe he'll make them better. Who knows? Maybe. But they watch every freaking game. I mean, they have to watch every single game. They're like on the hot seat for every game.
Right.
So how they miss one guy over the other, I don't know. But I think I applaud him. I think he's doing the right thing. Maybe it'll wake them up.
Do you think it's favoritism, Russ, that Char didn't get anything? Do you think there's a conflict of interest with some guy in the war room there?
No.
There's none of that shit that goes on.
No, because like Ray and Peros, these guys, like, this is where Brendan Shanahan was. They want to further their careers. They want to be in the NHL. They want to be a GM. They want to, you know, this is a stepping stone for them. They're not going to screw up the rest of their careers by doing something illegal or wrong. They just missed. I don't know how they missed it. I mean, these guys are in it. Brian Burke did it for a while. Colin Campbell did it for a while. And these guys are now, you know, they're VPs. I mean, this is, you know, they're not going to freaking ruin the rest of their hockey careers by favoritism. That's not right.
So it brings to question, Russ, you talk about this blatant cross-check to the face by Chara, no penalty or whatever. I don't know if he got a penalty or not, but no suspension compared to the elbow that Kane throws the other day. Based on him getting three games, Chara should have got three at least or more. So I'm all about the review here, Russ, that they should be able to review this stuff. And my answer to it, because everyone fucking says, if you do that, Jim, if you're allowed to review anything, the play will take 7 hours to play a game. And I said, well, it won't if you call for a review, and if you're wrong, then there's a penalty. Then you're given a 2-minute penalty. because this is a joke when this shit gets missed, Russ. Mm-hmm. Well, are you listening to me? Are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah, no? But I mean, they're allowed to review.
No, they're not. Not if there's if they miss a penalty, right?
Oh.
If they miss a penalty, you can't throw the challenge flag here.
Yeah, I got you. But they during the game, but they are watching and you can still get suspended if they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can he's talking about suspensions.
You can send in the footage, right?
Right. He's talking about what the suspensions and how they're handed out are wrong. They've been wrong and they need to change it. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about missing a call. I'm beating a dead horse here, but I agree with what he's saying. They've got to be better, but
Well, here's Evander Kane's solution. As he says, it's a conflict of interest because these guys were players and they're too close to it, that they should have like an arbitrator or a third party settle these suspensions, someone outside of the game.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't agree with that. They've got a couple guys there that didn't play the game that I think are freaking buffoons at times. Like, they say some crazy shit. I'm like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And I think having players there is a benefit. And I think that because those guys have been in situations, I think they can rationalize what the player was thinking. And if they have a meeting with the player, which they do, they can, what were you thinking? Like, Brian Burke suspended my brother.
Yep.
And I've told this story where Burke, he called him after the game and said, did you intentionally do that? Because if you did, I'm going to give you more games. He goes, no, I didn't, or something like that. And then Jeff called.
Deny.
Yeah, deny. And then Jeff called him back and said, okay, yeah, I did. And then he goes, you're lucky you called me back because I was going to throw the book at you.
Oh, good one.
But yeah, right. I think having hockey players is a good thing. But in those rooms where they're making those kinds of decisions, I mean, if you get a bunch of nerds in there that never played the game, I mean, come on, right. It's going to be a joke.
Good point.
Yeah.
No, that was a bad angle that I had there. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what Kane says, but
I liked how he challenged them. I don't like that. I don't agree with that part, getting third party.
Zach Cassian with the Edmonton Oilers, who just came off of suspension for his incident with
the soccer player.
So he gets knocked on his ass, and he's sort of sitting up a little bit, right? He's on his ass and sitting up, and there's a guy down. The guy who checked him. He fires his skate blade into the chest of the guy.
Yeah.
And kicks him. And he got 7 games. And I'm going, yeesh, does that seem light for a guy using a skate as a weapon? So I got to ask Rusty. That looks like when a guy elbows a guy and gets 3 games, this guy kicks a guy.
Yeah.
With it doesn't happen very often.
No. I was gonna go off on Cass about kicking, and then I just was sitting there going, oh yeah, remember Russ, you kicked the guy too.
You didn't.
So when I was a rookie, I'm coming down with my head down and Scott Stevens playing for Washington, he stands me up and hits me so hard that he falls on top of me. So I'm on my back.
And he's tough and strong.
Oh, I didn't know who the hell he was, but I found out in a hurry. So I'm on my back. He's on top of me. That's how hard he hit me. The force, he put me back and then he fell on top of me. And he was on his knees and I freaking kicked him right in the balls with my skate. And his eyes rolled in the back of his head. All I saw was white, and it was like a fire-breathing dragon. He was spitting, swearing, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, F you. And they break us up, and I'm a rookie, so I don't know who he is. I knew the guys in the West. I didn't know the guys in the East. So
he was with Jersey, probably, wasn't he?
No, he was with Washington. And so I get back to the bench and they're like, do you know who that is? And I think he was the first or second or third hockey player that was had a, he didn't have a six pack. He had like a freaking 12 pack.
Did he play for Jersey though? Did I fuck that up?
Yeah, no, he played for Jersey. He played a long, so he went Washington, yeah. St. Louis, Jersey.
Anyway, you reefed him in the bag.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I was gonna say, you know, who kicks another player? Like, that's such a joke. Come on. Russ, you did.
That a boy. Did you get suspended?
No. No, because he was laying on top of me. No one knew but him and I, even to this day. Hopefully he doesn't listen to our podcast, because he'd probably still kick the crap out of me, reminding him of it.
I'm laughing, Russ, because one day when we talked on the show, I said, Russ, what's the really good dirty move in hockey that you can get away with, you know, that you could fucking, you know, and hurt a guy, but maybe the refs won't see it. And you agreed with everyone. The quick shot with the heel of your stick on the guy's wrist, the open part between the forearm and the wrist.
Or on the laces of your skate at the face-off.
You bang the heel, right?
Yeah, because we all wore our skates so tight, and we had leather skates, right? Not these plastic, whatever they're wearing now.
Yeah. What I'm laughing about, Russ, is you never brought up that or kick a guy in the bag. Yeah. So we got questions, Russ, as we move into another segment here. So it's from CR, Coach Reg.
Okay? Oh!
Yeah, Coach Reg texts me, okay, and wants to ask about, this is the time of year, certainly in hockey, it probably happens all year long in all sports, but negotiating contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and... he has an interesting question here. Just let me pull it up here. Possible question, he says, Russ, for you and me. And I scratch me off there. Go, no, this should be for Russ. The strategy involved behind, for example, Belichick and negotiations with Tom Brady. What are negotiations like? How involved is the player with the agent? How do both sides use the media to try and influence the negotiations, if they do at all? Good question.
Agents use the media, and the media loves the scoops. So if an agent, you know, floats something out there, then when I was in Montreal, this reporter was writing great things about me and how they should sign me and he was saying all this stuff, which was totally true. and then when I signed, I had to give him the details of the contract so he could be the first guy to put it out there. So the media and the agents are very much in bed together when it comes to negotiating.
Oh, okay.
They just want the scoop. They want to be the first guy to tell the world that Brady is signed. So the player is, you know, that the agents try to guard the player and just, hey, you just go out and play and I'll take care of everything. So they don't hear everything, because, you know, the agent's telling the GM or whoever's negotiating the contract how great you are. They're telling, he didn't get this many goals, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come back to your client and go, well, they think you suck.
Right.
I mean, they're saying some really bad things about you, but here's the offer. So they'll give you the offer and they'll say, you know, I think I can get more, you know, let's just say no, but I want to tell you where we're at. And, you know, that part, the player agent talk about, but all the bad negative stuff, like Tom, he's too old. We're worried about his age. We're worried about this. They're not going to discuss that.
Right. If you're like, say, Russ, you think you're worth $500,000,
uh-huh,
and the agent thinks you're, or the other way around, you think you're worth $1 million, and the agent thinks you're worth $600,000. Who wins out in that? How do you, and now you got to negotiate with your own agent?
No, your agent is your, I mean, usually they're your friend, and you know, you've become close to them, and you trust them because if you think you're worth $1 million, the agent says, no, you're worth 600 grand. That guy gets fired right then and there. Nah, it's just like, okay, you don't think I'm worth it? Boom, I'm going to get another guy. So they come to like, okay, this guy gets this much. You did this. This is what you're in this ballpark. And so they have a good understanding. It's when a player, where there are screw ups is when a player turns down or an agent says, no, they're offering you 4 years. I think you're worth six. And then you get one somewhere else.
Ooh.
That's,
ooh.
Yeah, and that happens. The agent can get greedy, not the player. And then they're feeding the player full of, you know, like, no, I think I can get six. I think, and then something happens. And
one of the greatest agents around, and I know him personally because he did a contract for me in radio, was Larry Kelly.
No,
And Larry did Steve Yzerman. He's from Ottawa. He did Steve Yzerman. He did, back in the day, Dominic Hasek. You want my Dominic Hasek impression? Buffalo Sabres. Okay, Dominic Hasek, Buffalo Sabres, 3-on-1, 2-on-1, you know, good guy, score. Cortinol, you know, pain in the ass, Cortinol. Larry, when I got my head way too big and way too swollen when I was in the radio biz, I went to get Larry and asked him if he would... This even sounds egomaniacal. Obviously, he would represent me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I've never done a radio thing, but I will, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, he got me lots of money back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking, and he was fucking hard-ass, man. I remember phoning him going, you know, sitting back in my chair, like smoking a cigar, Russ, with my feet up going, hey, Larry, when you're talking to them, get them to toss in a car and a golf club membership, right?
Uh-huh.
And the phone went dead. And I thought, fuck yeah, we got disconnected. I phoned him back. I go, we got disconnected. He goes, no, I hung up on you.
That's great, because you're being an idiot.
He said there's two things. Agency is very straightforward. We're not here to babysit a guy. Our job is to get you the most money. And secondly, the really good agent is a guy who can take a no when they negotiate. And I always remember that, and I suspect... Well, you negotiate house deals and all that all the time. A really good agent can get you more money, though, can he?
Well, I think both sides got to feel like they won. You know, not that one wins and one loses. I think whenever you're negotiating, I think both sides got to feel like they got a good deal. And if you do that, you're going to do more and more deals. And when one loses, long term, I just don't see the benefit.
What did you pay your agent, Russ?
3%.
3%.
That's what agent. Yeah, 3%. I was talking to Eric the other day, and it's still common in sports that the agents get 3%. So
wait a minute. Eric signs a $50 million deal. This guy gets 1.5.
No, 3%.
No, but that would be 1.5 million, wouldn't it? 50 million times
over
3?
He gets it over 5 years. So, but that's why the agents today have, you know, obviously they have less players because they make more money and they can do a better job. Back when in the 80s, you had to have like 100 guys to make a living and you couldn't.
We got you 60 grand.
Yeah, you know, you just, you know, you couldn't do the job correctly. So I think they're well paid. They are very, very well paid, the agents. But that's the business they're in. So movie business is worse. Those guys pay 10% to their agent and 15% to their manager.
You bring up, and then we'll get out of here. I got a great story. You bring up the movie business and agents.
Let us be the judge of the story, whether it's great or not. My brother tells a joke and he goes, this is the greatest joke you're ever going to hear. I'm like, well, he says it every time. I'm like, well, come on.
It's like the bad recommendation for a movie.
How about Jimmy? You're just going to tell us a story and we'll let you know if it's great or not. Okay.
Here's my final thought. So this actor, okay, is driving home from work or driving home from, you know, doing fucking another audition, not getting a gig. And he pulls into his cul-de-sac, and at the end where his house is out in front are three police cars. There's fire engines there. His wife is out on the front lawn. She's lying down being looked after. The kids are in blankets in the ambulance, and the guy goes flying out of his car, and the house is burning down. And he goes whipping out of his car, and he's going, oh, my God, this is my family. What's going on? And the guy says, well, the house caught on fire, and if not for your agent phoning the house that woke them up and got the, you know, they would have perished in the fire. And the guy's going, oh, my God, that's so horrible. What the? My agent phoned? Anyway, Rusty,
that's funny.
Another good show in the books. The highlight of the show, Jeff with the firecrackers.
Oh, yeah, and the ashtrays. So if you're hearing some of the noise in the background, my daughter, who's 17, Brooklyn, has two friends over.
Yeah.
And Denim is one of the boys.
Yeah.
And his mom is Toni Braxton.
Oh, I love Toni Braxton.
Oh, my God. So I'm like...
She's still hot?
So, oh, Toni, yeah. Braxton? But I don't know. But I love... We all had crushes on Toni.
Yeah, and, that's her.
Right?
That's her,
so last night at dinner, Brooklyn's sitting in, and we're all... I'm talking about Denim and her mom. And I'm like... And then we're like playing her music, and everyone's going, oh, my God. We're all just... And I go, tomorrow, Brooklyn says, she's coming, or he's coming over tomorrow, Denim's coming. And I go, she goes, you cannot talk to him about his mother. You're creeping.
The hot mother.
Or, yeah, your mom. Can't talk about his mom.
Oh, that's funny.
Please don't say anything about his mom. So he's here, and that's what you're hearing in the background. Him and his buddy are over.
Anyway, Rusty, another good show in the book. The highlight of the show, Jeff with the firecrackers. Your fucking brother's nuts.
Know,
let's just say
crazy.
It as it is. That's good. So thanks everyone for tuning in. You've been listening to The Suspendables.
Thanks, brother. See you next week.
See you, Rusty. Go back and white claw yourself to death.
No, I'm on to the Aquilini Sav Blanc they just released.
Okay. We'll see you later.
See you.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortnell in L.A. A new episode every Tuesday morning on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.